when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening to all you precious Blood River Radio supporters out there that come in here and listen to us every week, at least almost every week. And I'll also welcome to all the newcomers that are coming in to listen to us. I barely made it in here myself. Another miraculous entry. I don't want to sound too dramatic, but I swear life is tough, y'all. It is so tough. And the older you get, the tougher it gets. But anyway, I'm here by semi-miracle. And we got a good crew lined up today. If we can get all the snafus ironed out of my phone and Don Black system, we're going to try to get Don Black in a few minutes. But we have a great program listed for you today. And where is that program? It is Blood River Radio. That's right. You're listening to Blood River Radio. We're proudly syndicated all over creation by Liberty News Radio, Sam Bushman, and New Cloud Media with Jay Harrison, his precious daughter, Lizzie, a.k.a. Miss Teenage America. They keep us going. I couldn't go 5 seconds without them. Lord knows I'm the most tech unsavvy person you've ever seen in your life. That's why we have problems almost every week, because I always wind up screwing something up. I'll knock an Ethernet line off or do some kind of crap that some old Vietnam poot usually does. we're always screwing up. Anyway, people, like I say, this is Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. And this is a side that we've always had one ever since we've been on the air. Hey, and we're coming up on our 8th anniversary. Can you believe that? I can't believe we've been on the air 8 years.
Okay, this is, I think there was a glitch with Eddie, but this is Jason Robb. I am going to be on one of the hosts today at this first hour, and we're trying to get Don Black in as well. Hopefully we can get him in. So I'm just going to take the reins until we get Eddie back on the air. But usually we open up with a prayer. So we are going to do that, and if we can't get Eddie back on after the prayer, then we're going to go over some of the outline of the 3-hour show, as well as announce some of our donors. So let's begin with the word of prayer. As Eddie always says, we are a Christian radio, and we always believe that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ controls all affairs of men, controls our government, controls our society, and controls the outcome. And so we always want to give him the respect and honor and the glory for this show. So everyone, please bow your head and let's open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. We pray that you continue to watch over Eddie with his health. Give him the energy that's so much needed, and just bless him, bless his body, be with him, watch over him, and just give him the strength that's needed every single day for this radio program, as well as just the daily affairs of life. We are thankful for the show. We pray that you'll continue to bless our listeners, that this good news that we try to bring out every Saturday will reach our listeners, let them know that there is hope, that there is a concern for our people, but we know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, again, controls everything. And so we pray that you just, again, watch over the show. We pray over our listeners. We ask that you watch over each one of us and that you'll give us the faithfulness and dedication every single day to be a witness to our people. We ask all this in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, son boy.
Take the rain.
Well, you know what? It used to really shake me up, especially in the first couple of years. And not too long ago, I would get all balled up and shaked up according to his technical difficulties. I have no clue why we seem to go, and I'm just addressing our dear Blood River Radio family now. I have no clue why we have to go through these things. We have a great webmaster, too, and sometimes we have problems with the Blood River Radio website, and we were going great, great guns. All of a sudden, things went wrong, but before I get through making excuses, the webmaster says he's a damn good one, and Jay and Lizzie, they're about as good as you can get. They really are. Things happen, and you don't know why. Things are so complicated. You get these gremlins in the line. But at least I'm not broken down in Bahia, Mississippi, like James Edwards is. So I have to got to go get him, I guess, after this show. Anyway, I probably should have ditched the show and gone got him. But, hey, the show must go on. Anyway, thank you so much for saying that for that prayer, Jason. We're going to try to get Don Black on in a few minutes if we can get him on. I don't know why we have such a hard time getting Don on. I really don't. We do everything under the sun. I may have to fly him up here at Jason's expense. Anyway, what we were going to do, and we'll finish up if we can get him on. We'll get him on, Jason. But what we had originally planned this to do, like you and I talked earlier, we were going to go back and do kind of like a brief, abbreviated history of the Klan. Who brought them about? Why they came about? And the mission of the Klan changed, if not under my understanding, after they had been going a few years. Jason, you can make me if I'm wrong. But originally, after Lincoln's war against the South, after the war was over, a group of young men in Pulaski County, Tennessee. And you know what? We just got good news. And I will give my – well, Don's there. I'll finish my little background here, and we'll bring Don and Jason in. But a group of young men in Pulaski County, Tennessee, started kind of like as a fun club to do. And something to do. They'd ride around, I guess, in sheets and scare the holy hell out of those blacks that hadn't been out of the jungle very long. Well, it morphed into like a defense organization because under the South, under the Southern Reconstruction, Gene Andrews, who gives our Confederate history lessons, it morphed into a defense organization, it being the Ku Klux Klan, because in the South, the Yankees just turned these Negroes that were barely out of the jungle. They turned them loose and sicked them on our women. They were raping women, young and old, killing old men, killing young men, just running roughshod over the country. Well, the Ku Klux Klan in original days, and these two guys are expert on my own, and who they are is Jason Robb from Knights Council. He's the chief legal attorney for the Knights Council. Don Black has been in the fight forever. He's a legend, man. He used to be like a Grand Dragon leader, the national director of the Klan, one of the longest sessions. But getting back to what I was talking about, they were effective in defending our Southern folk after the North had beat them down. And they've been given a really bad name by the same old people, these men that wear tiny little hats. It started an all-out onslaught of the Klan in the 1950s. I know... Pastor Thomas Robb has fought battles way before Charlottesville. He was at the Battle of Chicago, the Battle of Washington, D.C. They've been tried for not heresy, but rebellion against the United States. I can't think of what that is right now. But they've been tried for everything you can think of. Okay, that's bringing us up. We've got two people. That's kind of a super, super, super brief history of the Klan. We're coming up fast forward right now. We're going to go over to Jason, if you will. Since you were just going to take over the show in case I couldn't make it, if you will, take up where I just left off, if it's possible, if you could understand my babbling. And you have been in the Klan since you were born. Don Black has had every position you could have in the Klan. So if you will, start off where I left off, and I'm getting out of y'all's way. We'll be going to a break any second now, though. But do what you say, what you say.
And well, I'm going to start until we get to a break, because I know it is approaching very quickly. But yeah, again, this is Jason Raub. My father's Thomas Raub, and we're just honored to have Mr. Don Black on the show this hour. A lot of people know who he is. New listeners may not, but Mr. Black has been involved in fighting for our white rights. I think since 14 or 15 years old. I hear the music, Eddie. So
okay.
I'm going to get off the air right the second.
Okay, Jason, that's going to be great being with you this hour.
We'll come back.
We'll be back.
I'm getting the hell out of y'all's way, and the rest of the show, rest of this hour, belongs to you two gentlemen. Be right back, folks.
This is Attorney Jason Raub, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more while listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR as hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
In the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue.
Your blood is rambling, family. Thank you so much for soldering through yet again. We go through these periods every now and then. We have tech problems, and we always solder through them. But anyway, we have two guys on here that they exemplify why. The one and only purpose for Blood River Radio, you can go back and look at the site that I wrote. It was written by a registered nurse, trauma certified, don't you know? But the grammar wasn't that great. But the one and only purpose, and it always be the one and only purpose of Blood River Radio, is to fight against global white genocide. And we have two men right on here that have been in this fight against global white genocide since before the cow, we even had cows to come home. And we're going to go right back to Jason. We have Jason Raub on. We have Don Black, who's a legend. And Jason is going to finish up taking the rest of this program, him and Don. So go ahead, Jason. Continue where you left off, brother.
Yeah, I'll sure. I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Eddie. Yeah, so it's, yeah, it's, again, like I was saying before the break, it's great to have Mr. Don Black on the show. A lot of people obviously know who he is. Like you said, Eddie, he is very much a legend in our racial cause or racial fight against white genocide. He's going to expand a little bit more on it. But, you know, Don has been involved if you want to call it the movement, it's kind of, that's a loose term. But I was like, no, this white fight, since he's been 14, 15 years old, and I guess this would be like the age of 14 or 15, I think, maybe when you got involved, but since, you know, the late 60s, early 70s, has been involved in this fight. And, he has really exemplified of what a warrior is, someone who loves his people, loves his culture and heritage, and someone that has continued to fight for literally decades. And so often, I think it's kind of humorous because, you know, we get involved in this, and I'm 52 years old, so I'm the youngest one of all three of you guys. And I often hear people, you know, think that this fight, you know, against, you know, white genocide had just started, you know, a few years ago, maybe a decade ago or 20 years ago. Like they don't realize that there has been honorable men like Don Black that has been involved in this basically his whole life as well. And Don was a former national director, Grand Wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. He's founder of Stormfront, has been involved in other racial groups, and has really been a pillar of the white rights movement. And he's someone that I have always looked up to, our family has always looked up to, as someone that has been dedicated to this fight. So it's always an honor to be around Don Black and be on the show with him. And so, Don, just briefly, can you just kind of explain when you got involved, about the year, how old you were, and why you got involved in this fight? You knew it was going to be a struggle, but why did you get involved and why?
Well, I grew up in the South, of course, amidst the turmoil created by our enemies through the so-called civil rights movement. I grew up in Alabama, North Alabama, and it had a pretty profound effect on me. I became politically conscious at a pretty young age. My parents were traditional Southern conservatives, very, very Christian, and so that influenced me. But I went beyond all of that at a pretty young age. I didn't really become involved in our movement in a big way until I was 15. When I was 14, I was somewhat aware of what was going on. Something rotten was going on. And I worked briefly for the George Wallace for President campaign, which was 1968. And later I would become disillusioned with Wallace and actually worked for his speechwriter at the time, his early speechwriter, who wrote the famous lines about segregation now, tomorrow, forever, cast the gauntlet at the feet of tyranny and draw the line in the dust. That was Asa Carter, of course, and he formed an organization in 1970 called the Southerners and continued to work from there. So we worked for a while with that and other groups as well. And in 75, I had known David Duke since 69. Again, when I was 15, or actually I just turned 16 when I met David, but that was 69. And then when David took over a Klan organization in 74, I became interested because he was attracting some very large crowds. I one rally in outside of Baton Rouge. He, according to the New York Times, had 2,700 people there at an indoor rally. It was pretty impressive to me. So
yeah,
I
definitely
ended up driving down there with a few of my friends to Louisiana and becoming naturalized into the Klan, and worked from there in a pretty big way, first as state organizer, Grand Dragon of Alabama, and then National Information Director under David for a while. And we continued on through the 70s. 70s were a pretty eventful decade, along with the succeeding decades after that. All kinds of things have gone on. So here at this point, there's a lot to remember and hopefully learn from our experiences over all those decades, and look to the future as to what that might hold. And it will be younger people that will be shaping that future, and I look forward to seeing just what's in store. I've never seen a more opportune time for us, a momentous time when we all should be manning the ramparts, figuratively at least, and we'll see some real progress. I've never seen a more awakened people in this country. We've never been in worse shape than we've been now, but at the same time, we have a very awakened population, particularly younger people. I think we have more consciousness of the Jewish issue, much more so than when I first started out in the 70s, where most people were familiar in Alabama with racial issues, but really didn't know what was behind it, where all the problems were coming from. And now we see more and more of that. So we do have some real reason to be optimistic here. Demographically, racially, of course, things look pretty bad. The floodgates were opened particularly under previous administrations to immigration, uncontrolled non-white immigration into this country. We have seen our population shift pretty dramatically. But again, at the same time, there's still some strength out there amongst our own people. And I think from that group, we will see some real progress in coming years. But again, I started out in earnest when I was 15, and then graduated from high school later in 71, went to the University of Alabama, organized politically there, and then later with the Klan when I joined the Klan in 75, and continued on through Alabama. So many things went on back then, all kinds of things. So we made some progress, I think. I think we accomplished a few things, woke up a lot of people, and continued on. Of course, I moved to South Florida. I first visited South Florida in 74. Actually came down here for a football game with a couple of close friends. Swore I'd never come back. but here I am. Later on, I was invited to a talk show host, famous talk show host back then. And back then, I felt obligated to accept all of these offers. So I came down for that and reacquainted myself with my wife, Chloe, during that trip, and ended up moving here. And it's been interesting. It's certainly been an interesting experience, different from Alabama. But at the same time, there's a lot of consciousness, again, with who's really behind the problem, the people that are really causing the kind of problems that most people are just superficially aware of. They don't like, in the 60s, they didn't really, in Alabama, they didn't like integration of our schools. Then we got all of that. Then they didn't like affirmative action, so-called, in which white people were discriminated against in jobs and promotions and scholarships and all of that. And then of course, immigration itself. But they never really understood who was behind it. So I think we have more and more consciousness of that than ever before. And so
we have to go to a quick break. It's the bottom of the hour break. Okay. This is going to be about a 4-minute break, guys. So anybody wants to use the restroom or get some coffee, you got plenty of time. But be back in about 4 minutes, folks. Be right back here.
would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. President Trump says the U.S. is keeping up military pressure on Iran, warning that American strikes will continue until Tehran can no longer threaten U.S. interests. The White House says Iran has broken past agreements and continues to target shipping and American personnel. At the same time, the State Department is urging Americans in 10 Middle Eastern countries to stay alert as tensions rise. New drone attacks and tanker incidents near Kuwait and the Strait of Hormuz are adding to concerns about the conflict spreading across the region. A new gun ban in Virginia may have produced the opposite of its intended effect. Correspondent Ken Lorman has the details.
Virginia's assault weapons ban, which took effect July 1st, sparked a surge in firearm sales as gun owners rushed to beat the deadline. Background checks for long guns reportedly hit record levels in June, with some retailers reporting unprecedented demand from both longtime gun owners and first-time buyers. Gun rights advocates say the spike shows that firearm restrictions often increase interest in the very weapons lawmakers are trying to limit. Ken Lorman reporting.
It's not good news for consumers from U.S. oil producers.
ExxonMobil and Chevron warn that global supplies of diesel and other refined products will likely remain tight and lead to persistently high prices in the second half of the year as the Iran war continues to cause major energy disruptions. Both companies reported large jumps in second quarter refining profits on Friday as declining fuel stockpiles combined with curtailed exports from China and refinery outages in Russia led to higher margins.
Bill Alexander reporting. President Trump has 4 months pressured the Federal Reserve to slash interest rates, claiming it would be rocket fuel for growth. More at townhall.com.
Larry Elder here. When it comes to supplements, two things matter most: that it works and that you can trust it. Rather than just tell you about Relief Factor, we'll let our customers do it. We hear from people every single day whose lives have changed, and we'd like you to hear a few of their stories. Joni shared that before Relief Factor, her husband couldn't open his hands in the morning and had to give up playing guitar. Now he wakes up with flexibility and he's back to playing music. They are both recommending Relief Factor to friends as a way to enjoy things they love again. I know that feeling. I take Relief Factor every single morning for my back issues. I don't take it, the back issues come back. Now they make it easy to find out if you'll be the next person telling us Relief Factor helps you enjoy what you love. 3 weeks for just $17.76. Simply go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. You'll connect with our friendly local team and they will do everything they can to help. We hope you'll soon be sharing your story with us as well. Relieffactor.com, 800-4-RELIEF.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
The Epoch Times. NewYorkTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I just had my eyes open during the break. I wish our pet family could listen to what goes on during the breaks. Some of the most, you know, history lessons, some of the biggest history lessons I've ever had during the breaks. Anyway, we won't go into that. But go ahead, Jason.
We'll go into it briefly. I was disparaging Wallace as he deserved to be disparaged, but I have to give credit to his son, whom I've known over the years, who is a little more hardcore. I don't think anybody's talked to him in a few years. I know James Edwards mentions him sometimes, in an interview that he did with them back a long time ago. But, his son was, he's a little hardcore. So, but anyway, enough with Wallace. He was not one of us. So, that mantle will be picked up by others and has been, to a large degree, but others are to come. So we'll see what the future holds. And I think it's good for all of us.
So Don, you had mentioned about, your future, you kind of see a great opportunity for our people as far as, the narrative, as far as waking people up, our consciousness, our the white people, their consciousness, they are seeing what's happening. And I would imagine, just from my own experience, but definitely I know from you, with your involvement, so many decades from the 70s before the internet. Or even the media, because it was really much controlled. And back then, when you're trying to get the word out, the message out, with rallies or maybe various other platforms, literature distribution, or maybe try to have a rally, I mean, you were really limited what people could do as far as try and get this message out of that, hey, there's a intentional attack to cause America to become a non-white country. And back then, even up in the 70s and 80s, America was 91% white, upper 80s% white. So people didn't see really the problems that would be eventually being developed into what we are seeing now, with the drastic demographics changing. And so then, but now we have the internet, and of course, with your involvement with media and stuff like that, if you could kind of expand on that as far as what you have seen, just the difference means of communication, how our people are waking up, and why you think this is a positive thing for us.
Well, things certainly did change in the mid-90s with the internet. Prior to that, I can remember many, many times handing out leaflets, a few thousand sometimes, but usually whatever we could get out, putting leaflets or newspapers on the windshields of parked cars, particularly those at George Wallace rallies, interestingly enough, and or anywhere where we felt we might have an audience, getting the word out any way we could. And of course, with the establishment media, whatever we could get out, filtered though it was, whatever information we could get out through the through radio and television, newspapers, and we got quite a bit of publicity, particularly locally back in the 70s and the 60s, and some of which was fairly objective after you'd been working with the same reporters for a few couple of years. They tend to not want to make all of their picayune comments knowing they're going to see you again next week. So we got the word out in different ways. We did have meetings and rallies. And so, and then of course with the net, which did not become generally accessible, to most people until really 95, 96. And then a couple of years before that, the net was available, but the web itself did not become easily accessible until the first graphics-based web browser, which was Netscape, which was released at the end of 94. And then prior to that, I'd worked with dial-up bulletin boards, very limited number of users for those, but I did have them beginning in Stormfront actually first went online in 1990, but it was strictly a dial-up bulletin board. I put it online primarily for the benefit of some David Duke campaign workers. I worked for the Duke campaign in 1990 for U.S. Senate, in which was one of those almost win things. David ran for legislature in 89, which he won to everybody's surprise and shock and amazement to our enemies. And then for U.S. Senate in 90 and governor in 91. And all of those generated enormous coverage, media coverage, and national attention. And so I was working with all of those, actually commuting almost from down here to New Orleans, spent a lot of time in the New Orleans area, Metairie, Louisiana primarily. And so, in fact, my primary job was to work on the computers there for database management for contributors and so forth. And as part of that, I set up a dial-up bulletin board, which we call Stormfront. And my co-host of our radio show, when we were doing a radio show, whom I still stay in touch with, in fact, he'll probably be on this show with me in a couple of weeks, gets credit for naming it Stormfront. I ask, we need a really colorful name for this dial-up bulletin board. And he immediately suggested Stormfront because he had a rock and roll band. He was going to call that until Billy Joel named an album after that, and he didn't want to sound like he was copying him, the Jewish rock singer. And so nobody was accused us of that, so we were okay. But anyway, we set that up in 90, and then in 95, I registered Stormfront, the domain name, in 94. And 95, we went on the net, on the web. We'd already been on the net with the bulletin board to a limited degree, very limited. And then in March of 95, we went on the web because we were getting all of this publicity, which I just felt I had to take advantage of. So I fast-forwarded going on the web. I had our website up in time for ABC News to come down and do a story on it. And back then we got a lot more mainstream media coverage than we do now, because now they've all put out the word, you do not talk to these people. You do not normalize them ever, even if it's negative. You do not do this. So nobody gets... And David Duke, of course, has become a very negative word that you call your enemies as far as the media is concerned. And despite mentioning his name over and over again, particularly with the beginning of the Trump campaign in 2016. They never called David, even. And never, ever. They just mentioned his name over and over. That's what they do now. So the mainstream media doesn't give us a whole lot of coverage anymore, but we don't really need it, do we? We are the media.
Right.
We have our own media. So that's what we're looking at now. But, yeah, I kind of, looking back now that I've just turned 73, Tuesday, I can divide my life into two segments. There was before Stormfront, the internet Stormfront, and after. They were both somewhat different, working for the same cause, but in many ways very different. And so with Stormfront, we were able to, for the first time, reach potentially anybody in the world. By the late 90s, just about anybody that wanted internet access could get it. And again, by 95, they really wanted it, they could get it. And so prior to that, it was the net had first been invented in the early 70s. It had been a province of research institutions and government and that kind of thing.
We have to go to the last break of the first hour. Be right back, y'all.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, I am enjoying this interview to the max. We're going to go back. Jason is running the ship. I'm running the show. I'm just sitting here with these guys. Jason, you can go ahead and get John to keep talking, ask him a question, anything you'd like to do, but we have about 12 minutes left, y'all. So rock and roll, brother.
So, well, Eddie, you had mentioned just during the break, you know, about the Klan, about how much negative the Klan has, you know, and how do we break through that. And I just want to kind of make that comment, and I think Don can continue with that analysis, just in a general aspect. But I would say that, you know, with the Klan itself, which, you know, has, you know, represented white rights, I mean, the Klan has always stood for Christianity and has always stood for white people, preserving our race, culture, and heritage, and Christianity. Those are the two pillars that the Klan has always stood for, and that's what our enemy hates. The Jewish establishment, the anti-white establishment, they do not like that concept for anybody, any organization, any individual who's a Christian and who stands for white rights. And that's what the Klan has always stood for, and that's why the Klan has always been hated. And so you take the name Klan and you remove that to something else, to the White Rights Party. You remove that name and say Don Black. You remove that name and say David Duke, Stormfront. Any organization that has those pillars of representing our Christian values and for white rights, they're going to always call you evil names. They're going to call you racist and bigots and white supremacists and Nazis, and you're just the most hateful person, because our enemies naturally do not like that. They have that natural instinct of hating our people and hating our Christian faith. And so I think that's what, I mean, you know, Don kind of mentioned that about, you know, when David Duke was running for, you know, the various legislatures, you know, in Louisiana, Senate and governor, that they were just constantly talking how bad David Duke was, because of the fact that that's what he was, you know, the symbol of a person saying, hey, we have a right to exist and we have a right to defend our Christian values. And the Jewish establishment just hates that, you know. I mean, they really do. But Don, if you want to, you know, just kind of continue on that, you're I think, kind of starting about that, you know, with Aaronette and as well, but with David Duke. But if you can kind of expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, well, I did not find the Klan, albeit it has been demonized over and over and was being demonized when I was active in our organization. But in the 70s, I became, well, David Duke, of course, became a household name, pretty much nationally, but certainly right in Louisiana. And there wasn't that much negativity because people, well, kind of liked the Klan. You know, they liked somebody standing up for their racial interests. Well, I encountered the same thing in Alabama. I became literally a household name around Birmingham because we did so much there. I ran for mayor in 79, stuff like that. And we got a lot of support in the street, just like David did during his statewide campaigns. And the reason for that is that people, they didn't think that badly of the Klan. They thought it was, you know, well, they might not agree with this and that, but, you know, at least somebody's out there standing up for us. And I, you know, I led a fairly normal life back in the 70s. I worked for an ear, nose, and throat doctor whom your father knew as well. But he was, I worked in the medical side of his practice. And the staff there was all friendly enough, you know, that I remember one nurse saying, you know, it's just so good to know that somebody is out there looking out for us, you know, that kind of thing. So
yeah,
there was a lot of that. I didn't get a lot of negative stuff. I mean, it's certainly from the traditional enemies. We got that, the people that really hate us, but, and there were plenty of those, for the majority of the population, you know, they thought we had the right to exist. And I, you know, I tried to hold up my end of it and provide a fairly respectable point of view for our presentation. Point of view was respectable enough, but the presentation can sometimes go awry. So I tried to do my part on that. And so I've always had a fairly good experience with the Klan, and it does have a name. And, I remember reading a book back in the 70s about names, like IBM was the big name in the computer world back then. Coca-Cola is the big name in soft drinks. You know, General Motors, different names that people just associate with a good product. Well, the KKK is the Coca-Cola of white rights. So no group was quite like it. So not to infringe, Coca-Cola is not such a good product. But you get the point. That was
Right.
That was, there was a book written about that, about different, not about the Klan, but about different, how important it is to have a name. And once you become, once you've established that name, then nobody can really touch it.
Right.
So that's, we did have that advantage, and you have that advantage. So we, that, anyway, I always had good, of course, I was in the South and Alabama, and, you know, we, everybody remembered the Klan. They remembered something good about the Klan,
right.
despite the fact that they blew up those little children at the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, that kind of thing. We had that kind of negativity, of course. People didn't like that. But they could kind of work their way around it. You know, we didn't do that. But, I mean, we didn't blow up those little black children,
sure.
that kind of thing. So I think we accomplished.
But I think you had the common folk, you know, there, and you know, in your communities, that the average person that knew that, like you said, there was people out there. There's people out there that was trying to stand up for them, even though they may not be doing it publicly. There were other individuals, you know, like you and the Klan and Don and or David Duke and others. And so no, I think you're absolutely right, you know, that even though the enemy tries to portray that as negativity, that a lot of your, you know, white communities had a positive point of view with the Klan.
Yeah, exactly. So
I know there was a there was a poll done in the mid late 90s on the Arkansas Democrat, and the poll was, would you support a person who was a Klan member running for a elected office? And I believe there was like 35-40% of the people that voted said they would. And
wow.
that was a huge shock to the Arkansas Democrat newspaper when they had that poll. They did not know what to say after that.
But they didn't give any more polls. We know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I got a quick question to both of you guys. What? How receptive are the young people now? Have the young people? I'm gonna say below 40 and even below 30. How receptive are they to the Klan? Are they as hardcore against the Klan now as they were, say, 30 years ago? As the young people? And listen, how receptive are they to being corrected, having the false image of the Klan corrected and bringing them into the fold and making them realize being favorable to the Klan, even helping the Klan because it is for their own people. Go ahead, Don. Go ahead. What about that?
Well, Jason can probably speak to that more recently and directly than I can. But I think generally the younger people are more receptive than they've been in a long time on racial issues generally, and particularly the Jewish issue, particularly that latter issue. I've never seen anything quite like it before. And so I think we have a more potential among young people than we do older people, even though older people still remember the old days when we didn't have this massive illegal immigration and we didn't have women then in women's sports and all the other outrages that we face now. And I mean, really outrage stuff like, you know, mutilation of children for
yes.
Transgenderism, all of this stuff is just absolute outrage. And pretty much everybody opposes some of this stuff. But I think for the first time we actually have more consciousness among younger people
than
older people.
We have run completely out of time. I hate it because this is just a great hour. We've got to get you and Jason. We'll have to get you and Jay Hossbach on. We also definitely need to get you and Jason back again. And, we need to get y'all on for 2 hours next time. Well, listen, I would like to thank you so very much. Great, great respect and brotherly love for both of you gentlemen. God bless you both. Keep in touch with me. I'll keep in touch with y'all. We've got to get you back on very soon. Jason, hug all the people up there for me. Tell me, tell them I love them. And if you will, Don, tell Jay that I said hello.
Okay.
Well, good night, y'all. I'll contact with y'all. Dear Blood River Radio fam, we're going to transition to the second hour. We're going to pick up my little sister, Monica Schaefer, and my little brother, Paul Fromm. You got about 4 minutes, folks, but don't be late coming back.